the United States and really the whole planet is urbanizing. I mean, people are moving to the city at a very fast clip. Now, I remember a campaign in Colorado many, many years ago where they talked about finishing the wall around Colorado. They never finished that wall. So people are moving to Denver, moving to Metro Denver.
Finishing the wall.
Finish the wall around Colorado. That's it. Nobody else. That never happened, and people continue to move to Colorado. In fact, we're kind of a hot spot. I want to find out more about what that means for Denver. We've got on the line with us Ken Trappell, who's working with the Master of Urban and Regional Planning program over at the College of Architecture and Planning at the University of Colorado, Denver. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
We never finished the wall around Colorado, and Denver is one of those hot spots. There's lots of, don't they call that in-migration?
Yeah, that's correct. Denver and Colorado continue to gain population, and particularly since the recession, Denver in particular has been a real magnet for young people moving, from around the country to Denver.
Yeah, and we know what happens. People move to Colorado and they don't leave.
Yeah, well, it's a great place to live.
Here's my theory. I'm going to test it with the professor here. New York City, the model of urban density. I mean, they're vertical. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Los Angeles, spread out, urban sprawl at its worst. Where's Denver on the spectrum?
Well, I would say we'll probably be somewhere in between, certainly. I guess it depends partly on how you're defining Denver. Are we talking about the whole metro area, or just the city? The city of Denver proper was developed, during what we call the golden era of city building in this country, which was from kind of the late 1800s through about the 1930s. It's an era that I like to describe as post-elevator, pre-automobile. And so when you look at those great urban neighborhoods, in downtown and then kind of the surrounding neighborhoods, that's really great urbanism that we're really trying to recapture today in many places throughout the country. In new areas, we're trying to build them like those old areas. But certainly Denver has its fair share of suburban communities and areas where the land development patterns are much more sprawled out than we would probably prefer.
Yeah, one of the things we've talked about here on First Take is the transit hubs. When light rail picks a stop, then that's a great place to become a little more dense, a little more vertical, and some shopping and basic stuff like that, kind of built around the subway stops.
Yeah, and Denver has a proud history of having a great streetcar system. Back in the late 1800s and up through 1950s, and when you look at those little neighborhood retail centers that are scattered kind of throughout the historic neighborhoods, like Old South Gaylord, Old South Pearl, those types, those represent places where typically two streetcar lines intersected, and the streetcars may be gone, but the legacy of them still remain in those little neighborhood commercial centers that really are places that people love to walk to today. So it's the power of transit as a mode of transportation and how that impacts our land use is pretty great. And so I think with the investments that we're making today with fast tracks and with all of our TD's rail system, that's going to have an impact that's going to last for generations and perhaps centuries.
Hey, Ken, Carlos here. One of the interesting things about Denver today, as you just pointed out, is that we're coming full circle. Because when you think about it, the 50s, for some people, who weren't around back then, but for others, or some of us who were children, it's not that long ago. And when you think about the whole aspect of whether they call it light rail now, back then, the streetcars and so forth, really, it's almost like we got sidetracked for a while because of the onslaught of the automobile and the buses and the patrol. The whole everything shifted to that independence of running around and so forth. And all of a sudden, here we've got a whole new generation, a whole new way, mm-hmm. which is really the in a lot of ways the old way of coming together and of building neighborhoods, which is through that kind of mass transit approach. Which I find it ironic that. We throw that out after 40 years, which maybe should have been thrown out longer, you know, long time ago, and got to give the people of Colorado a lot of credit, especially in the urban area here, to, you know, have the mindset to say, you know what, we really need to do this in terms of, you know, the getting behind light rail and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We really did kind of lose our way when it came to city building in the post-war era. And it was a combination of a number of things. You know, the automobile had a huge impact. We reached a point where it was relatively easy for pretty much anybody to be able to have a car. And, you know, automobiles are great machines. I mean, they provide a lot of freedom. And so it was, it's not surprising that Americans took to the automobile the way that they did. But when you combine that with a type of zoning and way of regulating land in this country that promoted the separation of uses, so that you put all the residential over here and all the commercial over there mm-hmm. and the industrial way over there, we started building cities in a way in which you had to drive to be able mm-hmm. to basically get around your daily life.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no longer that walkable scale and mix of uses to our communities, and we developed these cities that really, you know, everybody had to drive everywhere. And so the problem isn't the automobile itself as a machine. It was the over-reliance on the automobile, really to the exclusion of almost every other forms of transportation, that got us into trouble. So what we're doing now with the reintroduction of rail transit and other things like all the new bicycle infrastructure that's being built around the city and, you know, other forms of transportation, we're starting to kind of really just go back to a more balanced portfolio of transportation assets, you might say, as a city. And that will be that'll be much more sustainable and better for us in the long run.
Ken Treppel writes at the blog DenverUrbanism.com. There's another one called DenverInfill.com, and they've just got great photographs of building projects. What it you got an empty spot, and somebody decides to build something, and that's called infill. And I'm glad that you're tracking that as well. We're going to point people to your website DenverUrbanism.com. And the other one, DenverInfill.com, for some good discussion and photos. And you've got a meetup next Wednesday. What happens when urbanism enthusiasts get together? It's kind of a real party.
Yeah, well, you know, it's,
or maps. You guys standing around maps and models.
No, it's really an informal thing. It's held at the Wine Coop Brewery up on the second floor.
Okay, so, that helps. Yeah, that's good.
There may be some, you know, beverages involved, but really it's just an opportunity for people who love cities and who love Denver and want to see Denver grow and prosper and who are very excited by all of the investment that's taking place in Denver in the form of all the infill development as well as things like transit. So for people who are really excited about that and who want to advocate for more of that and to contribute to continuing the building of Denver as a great city, then it's a place for them to just to get together and to hang out and chat with like-minded people.
Ken Treppel writes for DenverUrbanism.com. He teaches at University of Colorado, Denver. We're going to post this interview and links to those places. Ken, thanks for keeping us on track with the beat and the layout of the city.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you.